Welcome to This is the XFL Podcast. My name is Tron Hawkins. I'm your host, of course. First and foremost, Merry Christmas. We're about a week out. Well, actually, less than a week now. It's after midnight. Today, I'm going to be talking about the original XFL, XFL 2001, as it might be called, after 2020. It's going to be a fun little episode. I'm going to kind of skim over the history of the XFL, why I think it's failed. So first off, I want to announce that I have partnered up with XFL2K.com. To be the official podcast of that website, or one of them. Cannot wait to be on it. And the official launch date is Christmas Day. So check that out. Follow me on Twitter @is_XFL. And like me on Facebook at facebook.com/XFLpod2020. Or XFL2020pod. Just search. This is XFL podcast. I just want to announce also that I'm not affiliated with This is the XFL show. They're a show. I'm a podcast. I named it well before I knew who they were. So I apologize for that. But I'm here today, though, to talk about the XFL. I remember being a preteen, being excited for the XFL. I remember seeing commercials for it. Football's getting shot out of tanks at people. Talking about smash mouth football. I was an NBA fan, so I remember seeing those commercials. I mean, it was one of the most hyped things I've ever seen. Might have been the downfall of it, but it was hyped up. People was excited. I remember seeing the banners hanging up in the arenas for the 8 teams, and they just hyped the crap out of it. This is back before I got big into football. I didn't get big until I started watching the Falcons and Michael Vick, which Michael Vick kind of captured the imagination of everybody in fantasy football in 2005. So I wasn't too big into football, but I was big into wrestling. So I knew I was excited for the XFL because I knew it was a WWE thing. A lot of people don't know it. I didn't realize it until I listened to something the rest of the world with Pritchard, his XFL episode from a couple years ago. Vince McMahon originally wanted to do this by himself, like he is now. He is going to broadcast on UPN and TNN, which was the two homes of his wrestling shows, Raw and SmackDown. NBC had just lost in 98 their AFC package for NFL, and they was going to start a league with Time Warner. But that's about time Time Warner kind of got out of doing sports. They was going to do a football game on TNT. At that point, Dick Ebersol, a good friend of Mr. Mann, came up to him and said, "Hey, let's split it 50-50. They put a lot of money into this. Not as much as Vince put into the new XFL, but a good bit. On February 3rd, 2000, they announced that it was coming 1 year out. So 1 year to the day before the game started, they announced it. And the thing is, that's why Oliver Luck keeps saying he has time this time. They rushed it last time. They tried to rush the market. If you think about it, that's one of the main differences between then and now. Then, they're like, okay, we're going to have a league in a year. And a year from then, the league started. We had no clue who the players were. We didn't know who anybody was. They didn't even broadcast the draft or anything. Now, though, they're kind of giving us step-by-step. Like, look, this is what we're working on. Like, all of it works. Like, here's the cities and why we picked them. This is what we're doing to reimagine the game. Like, they're doing this videos on YouTube, which YouTube wasn't around back then. So they could have done that back then. They just didn't have the sources. Now they're kind of walking, holding our hands, going, this is what we're working on. This is what it's going to look like come 2020. So they got time. And they got time to get us hot. They got time to build fan bases. They got time to get us invested in the teams. The XFL was originally conceived to build around the success of the XFL and professional wrestling. It combined the scoring system of the NFL and the kayfabe instance of the WWF. It was in the middle of the Attitude Era. They wanted it to be football's Attitude Era. Smash mouth, sex everywhere. They would feature players and coaches with microphones. I mean, now the NFL, they have a whole, NFL Films has a whole show on the NFL Network of players and coaches being mic'd up. XFL was first team to do it, or first league to do it, and now the NFL borrows from it. That's not the only thing they borrow from either. I'll come back to that in just a minute. It was hyped as real football without penalties for roughness, with fewer rules in general. That was kind of a lie, in a way. there was penalties. I mean, there wasn't really that big of a difference other than the scramble and no fair catch. I mean, it got hopped up. They hopped it up and couldn't deliver on the field what was promised. And that was the main downfall, I think, of the original XFL. The stadiums featured trash-talking public address announcers, sexy, scantily clad cheerleaders who were encouraged to date the players. That was just a publicity stunt kind of deal. They tried to incorporate storylines in football. You can't do that because the games really, well, I say really, the games was not predetermined. So what was the end game of trying to do all these storylines, like Jesse Ventura against the Hitman's coach? I mean, what was the end game? There wasn't one. Like, there's no way to pay that off. So it made no sense to do that. The XFL actually featured three channels. Three games would be televised each week. NBC, UPN, and TNN. To accommodate this, they put four teams in the four biggest, largest markets. And then the random 14 was in markets that had previously hosted teams in second tier or rival major cities. So the four major ones, it was New York, New Jersey, Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. The four kind of middle cities were Birmingham, Memphis, Vegas, and Orlando. Or all the markets had hosted teams before in the United States Football League, except Las Vegas. So, originally, before the XFL idea came along, the CFL came to Vince and was like, hey, do you want to buy the Toronto Argonauts? And Vince was like, sure, and every other team in the league, please. He wanted to own the whole Canadian Football League. Rumors have abound that he almost bought the Minnesota Vikings and Washington Redskins in the NFL. That would have been nuts. Can you imagine Mr. Mann doing trades with like Jerry Jones? Because I feel like Mr. Mann would have been one of them that wanted to be a general manager too, like Jerry Jones is. The X and XFL did not stand for extreme. It didn't stand for anything. It was just X. I mean, X was everywhere in the 2000s and late 90s. It was just X. X Games, all that stuff. Like it was just an X. The 18s was the Birmingham Thunderbolts, which original name was the Birmingham Blast, but people in Birmingham protested that because, you know, church bombings and whatnot. And they're like, well, let's not have a team called the Blast, please. The Chicago Enforcers, the New York, New Jersey Hitmen, and the Orlando Rage. That was the Eastern Division. The Western Division was the Las Vegas Outlaws, Los Angeles Extreme, Memphis Maniacs, and Demons, the San Francisco Demons. All the teams had criminal activity or mentally insane. Like, that was what the teams was based around. The first game I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting at Applebee's with my parents, God rest their souls, eating dinner with just me, them, and my brother. And me and my brother wanted to face the TV, my little brother, to watch the XFL. At the bar, the whole restaurant was turning to XFL. First thing you see, The Rock. The Rock's on the screen welcoming everybody to the XFL. Here comes Vince coming out there, gave a speech talking about how he's giving football back to us. And this is the XFL. And the first game with New York Jersey Hitmen and Las Vegas Outlaws. First player I seen on the game. First player that captured my imagination. Y'all know who I'm about to tell you. He hate me. And when they interviewed him during the game, like, who is he? And he's like, them. They hate me. You can tell it by the look in their eyes. He was the only person other than Tommy Maddox, to me, who left an impression on people. Tommy Maddox went on to go be a starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Won a Super Bowl as Ben Roethlisberger's backup at Super Bowl 40. He had a good playing career. He was the MVP of the XFL. The only season. But he hate me is the most famous player in XFL history, and it's not even close. So the first game was not team nothing. I mean, it was a bad game. There was no bye weeks. There was 10 week seasons. I think we're going to see the same thing. We are going to see the same thing. 10 week season, no bye weeks. Four teams make the playoffs, top two from each division. You play everybody in the division twice like the NFL, but you play everybody else once. So six out of 10 games going to be against teams that you already played before. And I hope they do it because I want to see different matchups, but I hope they do it. The first 3 weeks is division games, the middle 4 weeks is just different people playing, and then the last 3 weeks is division games. I think that'd be a good little setup. If you're listening, can we do that, please? The two divisions was totally different. The Western Division was a lot more competitive than Eastern. I'll go over the records. The Orlando Rays was 8-2. The Enforcers was 5-5. 4-6 for the New Jersey Hitmen, and 2-8 for the lowly Birmingham Bolts. The LA Extreme was 7-3. The Demons was 5-5. Memphis and Las Vegas was 5-5 and 4-6 respectively. That's one of the bad things. That's where the XFL kind of gets a bad rap at. Is the quality of play you keep seeing. And Oliver Luck and Mr. McMahon talking about we're going to get the quality of play a lot. Two teams out of the eight was above 500. Two. That's pathetic. 8-2 and 7-3. So come playoff time, Orlando and Los Angeles was the favorites to go to the championship game. L.A. being the best team in the league, they handled their business and beat Chicago 33-16 in L.A. Cicero and Orlando, the number one seed out of the East. Orlando played the Demons. The Demons beat them 26-25. And then in the million-dollar game, the big game at the end of the season, as it was going to be called, L.A. just stomped the crap out of San Francisco 38-6. Tony Max, the MVP of the league. The kicker for the Extreme, Jose Cortez, was the million-dollar game MVP. I remember this like it was yesterday. It was fun. The games was fun because it was something different. But looking back at it now, the play was horrible. But as a 12-year-old, did not know that. You know, I was just supporting Vince and just watching football. Like, I wasn't a cynic like I probably am now. I wasn't worried about the quality of play back then. So I'm going to go over some of the stadiums and teams and kind of give you the capacity and the average attendance. So the Demons, they played at Pacific Rail Park, which was home of the Giants. 41,000 was capacity. They averaged 35,000. That's the best in the league by far. New York, New Jersey Hitmen. This is kind of what I'm worried about XFL going back, the MetLife, because it's so huge. Giant Stadium, at the time it was Giant Stadium at the Meadowlands, only hosted could host 80,000 people. They filled it up to 28,000. That's what I'm worried about come MetLife, come 2020. Citrus Bowl, 36,000 was capacity. 25,000 was full, so they had a good crowd. LA Extreme was at the massive LA Memorial Coliseum, which is where the Rams play now. 92,000 was the capacity. They only had 22. That's average. Outlaws played at Sandboy Stadium out in Las Vegas. 36,000 was the capacity. They got 22 in there. Liberty Bowl was where the Maniacs played. 62 was the capacity. They only got 20,000 in there. Sometimes, in a stadium that big, probably look like 20 people. The Thunderbolts played at Legion Field. Capacity was 83,000 people. They only got 17. Soldier Field could hold 55,000 just back before they remodeled it and only averaged 15,000 attendance. The attendance was okay. The TV numbers the first week was magnificent, but if you look closer into it, the first hour was good, and they lost millions of viewers throughout the whole game, and they never really recovered after that. The attendance was alright, though, but the TV ratings is what made NBC back out of their deal. So when NBC backed out, actually, let's go over this right quick. Despite rule changes that they promised and hopped up, there really wasn't that much difference, and they got negative reviews for that. Midway through the season, though, Vince and them wanted to propose eliminate ineligible receivers, allowing any player to catch a forward pass. The coaches vetoed that. That would be too much of a radical change. The coolest things from the XFL to me was the opening scramble. That was the first thing that anybody ever saw was the opening scramble. It was a different way to see who got the ball first. I thought it was cool. I'm glad they're not doing it now, though, because it's dangerous. I mean, the first scramble, somebody dislocated the shoulder and was out for the year. So, I mean, it was dangerous. And the one thing they are bringing back is the tiered extra points. I love that idea. Make your game momentum just swing. I mean, can you imagine getting a 9-point play like I talked about doing in episode 2? Overtime rules. Please, if you listen to this, XFL officials, bring back these overtime rules. It's the same as college overtime rules, except there's no first downs. You got 4 downs to score. I would even eliminate field goals. Score touchdowns. But they're going to alternate. You know, they start at the 20. Please do that. They allowed full bunker run coverage early in the season in 2001. They defensive backs were allowed to hit wide receivers any time before the quarterback released the ball, as long as the hit came in from the front or the side. From the fourth week of the season, though, offensive numbers were down, so they restricted it within 5 yards, like the NFL and Canadian Football League. XFL allowed one offensive player to move toward the line of scrimmage once he was outside the tackles. So that was one thing. Punt rules, there's no fair catches. That was one of the one things that was heavily hopped in the marketing campaign. The one of the things they did do was you couldn't punt out of bounds. If you punt out of bounds, that was a 10-yard penalty. So the coffin corner punt was not in the game. Let's see what else. The play clock was 35 seconds, 5 seconds shorter than the contemporary NFL play clock of 40 seconds, but still longer than 20 seconds. They're going to be cutting that down to 25 to 30 seconds come 2020. The roster and salaries was $5,000 a week for quarterbacks, $35,000 for kickers, and $45,000 per week for all the rest of the players. So $5,000 to $3,500 was kind of the range. Some people got around this, though. Punters was listed as backup quarterbacks. So that way they can get extra money. One was a backup quarterback and one was a wide receiver. So they was both. So it's making extra money. I'm glad they didn't get called in the game for doing the backup jobs, though. The league was big on the jersey nicknames. Rod Smart was He Hate Me. He was the one that everybody knew. There was a guy called Death Blow in the Extreme. Two teams, though, Orlando and Birmingham, imposed policies that forbid players from using nicknames. The league's intent was to use backfield camera angles, gave these nicknames even greater exposure. The NFL barred Skycam. It was a way to see behind the offensive unit, kind of like Madden. Last year on a Sunday night game, during the fog that was the Patriots and Falcons, they had to use that cam to even see what was going on. I call it a video game cam. There's also Bubba Cam, which meant it was kind of like a little handheld. It was on-field camera. It's called Bubba Cam. It was named after Bubba, W. cameraman, who ironically refused to use it. He didn't want to do it. But they still caught the Bubba Cam. I hope they bring that back, too. The on-field cam was cool. I hope they don't use as much as Sky Cam, though, because the reason XFL kind of did a lot of that, I'd rather it just be from the side, like normal football, and then use Sky Cam occasionally as needed. Let's see what else here. They did two Saturday night games at 8 p.m., and then Sunday games, they would do the two Sunday night games would air in whatever region. They did a 4 o'clock game on TNN and 7 o'clock game on UPN on Sundays. They also had local radio presence, but the downside of the league was that places like ESPN, Fox Sports stuff didn't recognize it. Like, they didn't want to cover it because they thought it was fake, like the WWE, even though Vegas allowed bets on it. Since Vegas allowed bets on it, that kind of proves that it was legitimate, but you know, they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to cover that. The third week of the season, there was a change in playing rules, and broadcasts were subject to increased time constraints. The reason why was week two, in a double overtime game with the Extreme and Enforcers, the best game in XFL history by far. The game went long and caused Saturday Night Live not to start until 12:15 Sunday morning. That angered Lauren Michaels, who was waiting on J-Lo to bring in big show numbers. And he got pissed off and complained to NBC. And they made it where the XFL games had to end at 11 o'clock no matter what. Which NBC still does that for Saturday Night Live, because the National Hockey League in 2018 was cut off under similar circumstances. Does anybody even watch Saturday Night Live anymore? I mean, that show ain't been good in, what, 20 years? In the face of declining ratings, NBC and XFL promoted the shit out of this, whether it's going to let people into the locker room with the Orlando Raids cheerleaders. It didn't happen. It was all a publicity stunt and ended up being a skit. Ended up being a skit where the guy hits his head and has a daydream, and there's Rodney Dangerfield and somewhat naked chicks. It was lame. Let's see. The league was panned for boring football with lousy broadcast style. Although the broadcast of TNN and UPN was, since they had Matt Vasgersian on UPN, it was more professional than the Saturday Night Games was with Jerry Lawler and JR. They had too much wrestling on the show. That was the problem. They had The Rock on there, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Vince McMahon. So people thought it was fake. People thought it was a show. On the end of the season came in the playoffs, the big game at the end, like I talked about earlier, the LA Extreme beating the Demons 38-6. Even though paid attendance of the games remained respectable, if unimpressive, it was 10% below what the league's goal had been. The reason why it fell was due to low TV ratings. It faced stiff competition from March Madness. On March 31st, the NBC game between Chicago and New York received a 1.5 rating, the lowest for any network primetime weekend sports event in U.S. history, and it still is the record. At the time of closing, Vince wanted to run on TNN and UPN. Since NBC backed out, he wanted to give a big fuck you to NBC and said, look what I can do without you. However, UPN wanted to cut SmackDown down to 90 minutes. And Vince said no, because WWE comes first. That's why he said he wasn't going to leave WWE to run the new XFL. And that's why Oliver Luck is in there running it for him. At the time of closing, though, they're looking at expansion teams in Detroit as well as Washington, D.C., which might be why Washington gets a team this time. The XFL ranked as number 3 on TV Guide's list of worst TV shows of all time, number 2 on ESPN's Biggest Flops, and again, the TV Guide Network listed as number 21 on 25 TV's Biggest Blunders. Many stories recap the history of the XFL shows photos of a promotional blimp crashing during a NFL playoff game January 6, 2001. That should have been a sign because the blimp crashed like the league did. NBC continued to air football beyond XFL. They did arena football from 2003-2006. 2006, NFL Sunday Night Football came, and they started doing the Skycam, mocked up players, and satellite interviews that the XFL started doing. XFL team names and logos appeared in the movie The Sixth Day, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, set in the future. The movie came out in 2000. The movie was set in 2015, so they had high hopes. ESPN produced a documentary, This Was the XFL, of course, 30 for 30. Charlie Imbasaw, Dick's son, he produced it and everything and signed the line on the XFL. And then he ended up turning around and starting the AAF. That's kind of a sneaky move because I'm sure Vince talked to him about bringing it back. But that documentary set the wheels in motion for the XFL to kind of get talked about again and led to the resurrection of it that comes 2020. I think the reason why the XFL failed at the end was nobody wanted to cover it in ESPN and stuff. Everybody thought it was fake and there was too much just wrestling and sex and stuff. It wasn't enough football. That's why the new XFL is based on football but reimagined. It's sports first, sports only. There's no controversy. It's football, football, football. And they have time. I think since they have time this time, they're going to get it right. They're going to make it this time. They learned from their mistakes. Not only did XFL and Vince learn from their mistakes, but NBC did too. They learned how to broadcast the games. They learned something from the XFL, and that's why Sunday Night Football is number one rated show every single week. It's because that they learned, they know how to do broadcasting football now, and they made broadcasting football better, and they learned from their mistakes. That's why they're using sideline interviews. That's why they're using X-Cam. That's why they're using mic'd up players. They learned from the XFL, and the XFL learned that they needed more time. Time is key. That's why Oliver Luck keep telling us that they have the gift of time. I do think that the XFL 2020 will last longer than the 2001 version. How much longer, I don't know. I'm hoping It lasts a good while because it ain't gonna have that WWE just WWE stints to it. You know, I'm a big wrestling fan. That's why Oliver Luck being front and center, he's respected in the football circles. I think that's the best thing and probably the best hire maybe Vince did ever WWE or XFL. So thank you for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. The next two episodes I have planned out. The next episode I'm gonna be talking about four team expansion, future expansion teams. I can't tell you where yet. I'm going to be going over that just a little bit. Probably after the Christmas holidays. Or maybe in Christmas night, I might record. And in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about everybody's favorite quarterback. Not the one that kneels or the one that does a little money sign. I'm talking about football Jesus himself, Tim Tebow. I'm going to be going over his career and why I think he would be good in the XFL. Thank y'all. Merry Christmas. Thank you for all the support. Again, visit XFL2K.com come Christmas Day. My podcast will be on there. Also, follow me on Twitter @is_XFL and find me on Facebook @ThisIsXFL Podcast. Thank y'all. Merry Christmas and good night.